This recording is a service of the Allen County Public Library's audio reading service. It is specifically designed for and directed to people who have visual, physical, learning, or language challenges to reading traditional printed materials.
Welcome to Cook's Corner. We all could use a little help in the kitchen, so pick up some useful tips, tricks, and hints, as well as some tasty recipes from leading cooking magazines that will make your next meal a huge success. All on Cook's Corner, coming up next on your audio reading service.
Welcome, this is Cook's Corner, and I'm your reader, Robert, with the audio reading service of the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Today I'll be reading from Food and Wine, and now I'll begin with Food and Wine, copyright 2025, Meredith Operations Corporation, March 2025. Long live the diner! If I could only eat one meal for the rest of my life, it'd be a lumberjack special. Scrambled eggs with cheddar cheese, bacon, sausage, home fries, a single chocolate chip pancake, and bottomless coffee, obviously. Ideally, I'd be in a booth at one of my favorite diners. I grew up in coastal Connecticut, and on Sunday mornings, my family would drive to Lakeside Diner in Stamford to linger over freshly made apple cider donuts, or to Gale's Station House in Ridgefield, where we'd order rounds of cheddar corn pancakes. I dream of them to this day. The diner is a uniquely American style of restaurant. Back in the 1800s, small lunch carts in cities throughout the East Coast served hungry workers affordable meals all day and late into the night. In the early 1900s, those carts became stationary and grew longer, big enough to fit a gas stove, a U-shaped bar, and bar stools. They were intentionally modeled after dining cars on trains known as diners, and the expanded carts inherited the same name. In the Northeast, diners became an entry point for business ownership in the Greek community. Over time, they spread all over the country. Aside from the design, a few requirements must be met for a restaurant to be a diner. It must be laid back. Any guest should be able to nurse a cup of coffee as long as their heart desires. It must have an all-day menu. Bonus points if that menu is available 24/7. Most importantly, a diner must be for everyone. Any person from any background should be able to walk in, order something sustaining without breaking the bank, and feel welcome. If you grew up going to a diner, odds are it wasn't just a place to eat, but a place where many of your core memories were formed. Maybe it was the only place you could order, without judgment, meatloaf for breakfast or French toast for dinner. Maybe it was the first restaurant you went without your parents, a late-night milkshake after a football game, or a celebratory meal of eggs, bacon, and hash browns before heading out on a road trip with friends. Or maybe it was the first place where you became a regular. Maybe you're still a regular there. After school, New Year's Eve, or any time we wanted to get away from our parents and get some cheap food, we would go to our local diner, says Sam Yu, chef and owner of Golden Diner in New York City. It was like a home away from home. Yu is one of a growing number of chefs with fine dining backgrounds who today are paying homage to classic diners and opening versions of their own. At Golden Diner, Yu leans into his Asian heritage, with cross-cultural comforting dishes like a chicken katsu club sandwich and green tea coffee cake. After a post-pandemic craving for luxury, today people are wanting comfort and familiarity out of restaurant experiences, which diners deliver in spades. There's a lot of nostalgia and accessibility there, says 2022 Food and Wine Best New Chef Caroline Schiff, who is opening a diner in Queens' Ridgewood neighborhood next winter. She'll be serving dishes that reflect her years working as a high-end pastry chef, like butterscotch French toast, a vegetarian broccoli melt, and malted milk French silk pie. But ultimately, Schiff says, we're not trying to be anything new. Our tagline is, we're just a diner. We want to be this timeless place. In Bidford, Maine, chefs Chad Conley and Greg Mitchell also cultivate a sense of connection to the past. Their restaurant, Palace Diner, was built in 1927. When they bought the space in 2014, they knew they wanted to continue that legacy. "We wanted to honor that concept and present a menu that made sense," says Conley. The menu features diner stalwarts with high-end touches, like their soft scrambled eggs with cheese, and their grapefruit, which comes segmented and bruleed. Last fall, Chef Jackie Carnesi took over the kitchen at another storied institution, 97-year-old Kellogg's Diner in Brooklyn, and incorporated Tex-Mex flavors from her South Texas childhood into the menu with dishes like poblano meatloaf, guajillo braised short rib hash, and an omelet with green chili crema. Even one of the country's most renowned chefs, 1990 Food and Wine Best New Chef Nancy Silverton, is opening a diner in Los Angeles this year in partnership with television personality Phil Rosenthal. Named after Rosenthal's parents, Max and Helen's will feature nostalgic dishes made with Silverton's signature style. "There'll be a Reuben, but I'm going to source the perfect mustard, the perfect rye bread, and the perfect pastrami," she says. "I hope to turn some of these classics into better versions of themselves without a tremendous amount of effort." But what are the classics? At any given diner menu, you might find regional specialties or dishes that reflect the owner's heritage. It's why so many diners have gyros and Greek omelets. It's also why there are breakfast tacos at diners in Austin and matzo ball soup at diners in New York City. But then there are the things you will find everywhere. The sky-high pies, the milkshakes with two straws, the booths with squeaky cushions, and all the many forms of potatoes. No matter where you're from or why you're going, you can always count on a bottomless cup of coffee and for the waiter to ask how you like your eggs. "What do you have, hun?" Ordering eggs at a diner? You can expect them to come with a heaping side of home fries or hash browns. But what's the difference between these two beloved breakfast potatoes? Hash browns. Hash browns are fried, shredded, or finely chopped potatoes. Some diners fry them loose, others form them into patties. At Kellogg's Diner in Brooklyn, they come both ways. "Our homestyle hash browns are shredded, blanched, par-cooked, and griddle-fried," says Chef Jackie Carnesi. Alternatively, her hash brown patty is just your classic McDonald's-style hash brown. To make crispy diner-style hash browns at home, start by soaking shredded russet potatoes to remove some of the starch. This helps them fry up nice and crunchy. Home fries. Home fries can come in many shapes and sizes, but they generally consist of cubed potatoes, cooked in a skillet or on a flat top, sometimes with white onion or green bell pepper. Chefs use different cooking methods. Carnesi blanches, then roasts the potatoes before heavily seasoning them. Chef Caroline Schiff prefers to prepare them on a griddle with onion and peppers. For homemade home fries that are crisp and golden on the outside and tender on the inside, boil the potatoes before crisping them in a pan. Then finish them with butter, chili powder, and garlic. Hash browns. Active, 40 minutes. Total, 45 minutes. Serves 4. These hash browns are fried potato perfection. They're extra crunchy from squeezing the potatoes dry before cooking. The crispy exterior is well seasoned, and any parts of the potato that don't have as much contact with the pan are still tender and melt in your mouth with each bite. To take them over the top, try serving them with sour cream and chives, which add richness and a pop of fresh onion flavor. Ingredients: russet potatoes, kosher salt, garlic powder, onion powder, black pepper, smoked paprika, canola oil, optional sour cream, optional fresh chives. Once again, 1 3/4 pounds russet potatoes, peeled, 1 teaspoon kosher salt plus more to taste, 1 teaspoon garlic powder, 1 teaspoon onion powder, 1 half teaspoon black pepper, 1 half teaspoon smoked paprika, 6 tablespoons canola oil, divided, 1 quarter cup sour cream, which is optional, and sliced fresh chives, which is also optional. Step 1. Fill a large bowl with cold water. Shred potatoes on largest holes of a box grater. Place in water, ensuring potatoes are fully submerged in water. Let soak, uncovered, for 5 minutes. Step 2. Line a baking sheet with paper towels and set aside. Drain potatoes in a colander and rinse with cold water. Working in batches, place large handfuls of potatoes in a clean kitchen towel and squeeze until potatoes are very dry. Place dried potatoes on the prepared baking sheet in an even layer. Sprinkle with salt, garlic powder, onion powder, black pepper, and paprika. Toss using clean hands to coat potatoes and spices. Step 3. Heat a large cast iron skillet or griddle over high. Add 3 tablespoons oil and swirl to coat skillet. Scatter half of potatoes, that's about 2 cups, in an even layer in the skillet. Cook undisturbed until golden brown and crispy on bottom, about 2 minutes. Flip potatoes using a spatula, keeping as much of them intact as possible. Cook undisturbed until browned on the other side, about 2 minutes. Cook, flipping potatoes occasionally, keeping small sections intact until deeply golden brown and crispy all over, about 4 minutes. Adjust heat as necessary if potatoes start to burn. Transfer cooked potatoes to individual plates or a platter. Season with additional salt to taste. Repeat process with remaining 3 tablespoons of oil and remaining half of potatoes. Step 4. Season potatoes with additional salt to taste. Top evenly with sour cream and sprinkle with chives, if using, and serve immediately. Marianne Williams. Make ahead. Shredded potatoes can be soaked in cold water up to overnight before squeezing dry and cooking. You can also par cook the shredded and soaked potatoes, then freeze them for up to 2 weeks. Thaw the potatoes before cooking to remove any excess moisture. Home fries. Active 30 minutes, total 1 hour. Serve 2 to 4. Crisp and golden on the outside and tender on the inside, these home fries are the perfect breakfast potato. Boiling the potatoes with baking soda raises the water's pH level to be more alkaline, releasing starch from the potatoes that will form around them to develop a crispy crust. We like Yukon Gold potatoes for their creamy, buttery interior, but russets work for this recipe too. Ingredients: cold water, Yukon Gold or russet potatoes, baking soda, kosher salt, extra virgin olive oil, unsalted butter, black pepper, chili powder, garlic clove, chopped fresh chives is optional. Once again, 8 cups cold water, 1 1/2 pound unpeeled Yukon Gold or russet potatoes. That's about 3 to 4 medium potatoes. Scrubbed and cut into 3/4 inch cubes. That makes about 4 cups. 1/2 teaspoon baking soda. 3 tablespoons plus 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt, divided. 1/4 cup extra virgin olive oil, divided. 1 tablespoon unsalted butter. 1/2 teaspoon black pepper, 1/2 teaspoon chili powder, 1 large garlic clove, grated, and chopped fresh chives for garnish, and that's optional. Step 1. Stir together 8 cups water, potatoes, baking soda, and 3 tablespoons salt in a large saucepan. Bring to a boil over high. Cook undisturbed until potatoes are slightly softened when pierced using a fork, but still hold their shape well. That's about 5 minutes. Drain potatoes. Rinse with cold water. Spread potatoes in a single layer on a paper towel-lined baking sheet. Thoroughly pat dry and let stand at room temperature for 10 minutes. Step 2. Heat 2 tablespoons oil in a large non-stick skillet over medium-high until shimmering. Arrange potatoes in a single layer in skillet. Cook undisturbed until potatoes are golden brown on one side, 6 to 8 minutes. Step 3. Toss potatoes in skillet and add remaining 2 tablespoons oil. Cook, stirring every 3 minutes until potatoes are evenly golden brown and crisp, 10 to 12 minutes. Step 4. Reduce heat to medium. Stir in butter, black pepper, chili powder, garlic, and remaining 1/2 teaspoon salt. Cook, stirring often until mixture is aromatic and potatoes are evenly coated, 1 to 2 minutes. Remove from heat and garnish with chives if using, and serve immediately. Jasmine Smith. Make ahead. Store home fries in an airtight container in the refrigerator for up to 3 days or freeze them by spreading in a single layer on parchment paper lined baking sheet. Once frozen, transfer home fries to a freezer-safe bag or an airtight container. Greek omelet. Total 25 minutes. Serves 1. Filled with tomato, onion, Kalamata olives, and feta cheese, this all-day omelet works for breakfast just as well as it does for lunch or even dinner. Prep is important for this dish. Once you begin cooking, the eggs will set quickly, and your full attention will be needed to push the omelet's set edges toward the center of the pan so that any uncooked egg can flow into its place. Ingredients: large eggs, whole milk, kosher salt, black pepper, unsalted butter, plum tomato, red onion, pitted Kalamata olives, feta cheese, fresh oregano. Once again, 3 large eggs, 3 tablespoons whole milk, 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt, 1/4 teaspoon black pepper plus more for garnish, 1 tablespoon unsalted butter, 2 tablespoons chopped plum tomato, 2 tablespoons chopped red onion, 2 tablespoons chopped pitted Kalamata olives, 1/2 ounce feta cheese crumbled, that's about 2 tablespoons, plus more for garnish, and 1 tablespoon chopped fresh oregano, plus leaves for garnish. Step 1. Vigorously whisk together eggs, milk, salt, and pepper in a medium bowl until foamy, 30 seconds to 1 minute. Set aside. Step 2. Melt butter in a heavy-bottomed 9-inch non-stick skillet over medium-low until foamy, about 3 minutes. Pour in egg mixture, cook, undisturbed, until bottom begins to set, about 1 minute. Using a rubber spatula, gently push one edge of egg mixture into center of skillet while tilting skillet to allow liquid egg to flow underneath. Repeat process with other edges until liquid no longer flows freely. 1 to 2 minutes. Cover and cook over medium low, undisturbed, until eggs are just set. 2 to 3 minutes. Step 3. Remove skillet from heat. Quickly spoon tomato, onion, olives, feta, and oregano in a straight line down the center of the cooked eggs. Lift one edge of omelet and fold over filling. Gently transfer to a plate and garnish with oregano leaves and additional pepper and feta. Melissa Gray. If you grew up going to a diner, odds are it wasn't just a place to eat, but a place where many of your core memories were formed. Vanilla milkshake. Active 5 minutes, total 20 minutes, makes 1. This thick, smooth, and creamy milkshake will transport you to your favorite diner. The surefire formula for the classic frozen drink is in the ratio of ice cream to milk. The sweet spot, about 6 times more ice cream than milk, gets you to the goal. A shake that's smooth and creamy but can still be sipped through a straw. A pinch of kosher salt tempers the sweetness and amplifies the ice cream's flavor. This baseline vanilla milkshake is easily customizable if you prefer a strawberry, chocolate, or black and white shake. Ingredients: vanilla ice cream, such as Blue Bell homemade vanilla, whole milk, vanilla bean paste or vanilla extract, kosher salt, and whipped cream, maraschino cherry, and rainbow chocolate or other candy sprinkles for garnish. Once again, 1.5 cups vanilla ice cream, such as Blue Bell homemade vanilla, 1/4 cup cold whole milk, 1/2 teaspoon vanilla bean paste or vanilla extract, small pinch of kosher salt, whipped cream, maraschino cherry, rainbow chocolate or other candy sprinkles for garnish. Step 1. Chill a 12-ounce milkshake glass or other tall glass in freezer for at least 15 minutes. Step 2. Combine ice cream, milk, vanilla bean paste, and salt in a blender. Process on medium speed until smooth, 15 to 20 seconds. Pour into chilled glass. Garnish with whipped cream, cherry, and sprinkles, and serve immediately. Paige Grandjean. Note: to keep milkshakes thick, start with firmly frozen ice cream and cold milk, and avoid overmixing in the blender. Strawberry milkshake. Substitute whole milk with 1/4 cup thawed, fresh, sliced strawberries in syrup. Chocolate milkshake. Substitute chocolate ice cream, such as Häagen-Dazs, in place of vanilla ice cream. And black and white milkshake. Decrease milk to 2 tablespoons and add 2 tablespoons chocolate sauce, such as Ghirardelli. Drizzle the inside of the chilled glass with additional chocolate sauce before pouring in the blended milkshake. Food and Wine Pro. Worst Case Scenarios: How to Handle the Most Common Restaurant Screw-Ups, by Darren Cardoza. Being served in a restaurant is fraught with the possibility of mix-ups and accidents. Maybe your eggs were cooked incorrectly, or maybe your order was never placed in the kitchen, or maybe a server spilled red wine on your white shirt. Everyone makes mistakes, but any mistake can be salvaged. It all depends on how you react. Here's how to handle the most common restaurant screw-ups. When your food comes with a foreign object. If you find something in your food, be it a hair, a piece of plastic, or, God forbid, a broken nail, don't freak out. While you might be upset, try to be understanding. This wasn't intentional and it's not the end of the world. Tell your server and they will assess the situation and determine how best to make things right. Most restaurants are going to quickly apologize and offer to remake your food. They may even take the item off your bill. When you get the wrong dish, sometimes a server might bring you the wrong food, and you have to tell them it's not what you ordered. It's a make-or-break moment for that server, who has to either admit their mistake or try to convince you that you asked for a mushroom jalapeno pineapple pizza, despite all of your friends hearing you say, "Margarita." In the latter scenario, you might be up against someone who simply does not care. Ask for a manager. They'll likely rush a replacement order on your behalf. When it becomes dangerous. Two of the worst mistakes that can happen are when someone who doesn't or can't drink is accidentally served alcohol, or a person is giving something they are said to be allergic to. Both scenarios can have life-threatening impacts, and the restaurant should accept full responsibility. There should be an immediate response followed by a sincere apology. If this isn't happening, it's time to take it to the next level, be it a manager, owner, parent company, or an online review. Well, that's all the time we have for today. This has been Robert with Cook's Corner. I hope you've enjoyed today's reading from the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library.